join me in prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord God, we thank you for this season as we prepare for the coming of our Savior. Father, we ask that you would prepare our hearts to receive the message and understand the message that Jesus came, the message that he taught us of the good news, salvation. Our faith in him is our risen Savior. Lord God, we thank you for this great gift. May your Spirit prepare our hearts always to live our lives for you. Thank and praise you in Jesus' name. So I want to start off this morning sharing a couple stories, and maybe not the best way to do it. These are stories about some major tragedies, but it's not meant to be on a sad note or even focus on the tragedies that it happens. But these stories were great examples of people being prepared, as that is the theme of our second week of Advent as we lit the preparation candle. First story, do you guys remember Hurricane Sandy that had happened? This is one of the most expensive hurricanes that ever took place in U.S. history. And an amateur radio operator stayed on the air until he could no longer broadcast. Another operator further inland asked him if he was prepared for the hurricane, to which he answered that he and his family had enough food for several months and enough water for several weeks. And I love this part, because he then went on to say, "My family is prepared, and tomorrow we will go out and help others." That preparation then to help others. The second story I want to share, unfortunately we all remember 9/11 all too well. And there's so many stories of heroism that come from 9/11, but I'd never heard the story before here of Rick Riscoria. He was the VP of Morgan Stanley. And when the first building was hit, he immediately ordered the evacuation of all 2,700 employees in Building 2, as well as 1,000 more in Building 5. Rick used his bullhorn. He went throughout floors 44 to 72, telling and helping people evacuate. One of his friends said to him, "Rick, you've got to get out too," to which he replied, as soon as I make sure that everyone else is out." Rick never did make it out, but Morgan Stanley only lost 6 of its 2,700 employees because Rick warned them all. And by the way, if you remember the World Trade Center bombing back in 1993, Rick worked there at the time, and he was the last person out of the building that day. A man that cared for others, preparing others. Lastly, do you remember the 2009 massive tsunami that hit Myanmar? It took the lives of over 250,000 people. There was a 10-year-old girl named Tilly who, while walking on the beach with her parents that morning, noticed the ocean was acting really strange. Its behavior that morning was similar to what she had recently learned in school of what the ocean acts like before a tsunami. Tilly became very alarmed and started warning people, to the point that her family went back to their hotel. She convinced the security guards at the beach to start warning people and calling them off the beaches as well, and to start getting to higher grounds. It was mere moments after that the wave came crashing in. The British papers dubbed Tilly the angel of the beach because of all the people who had turned back before the water came. Preparedness. She knew what to expect. And that preparedness is what I want to talk about this morning, because I know these stories of tragedy might not correlate to the Advent, but yet, in a way they do, because these were people that were prepared. So I'd ask that you'd please rise for the reading of our sermon text. Our sermon text this morning comes from the book of Luke, chapter 3, verses 3 to 18. "And he went into all the region and around the Jordan, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. As it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, 'The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall become straight, and the rough places shall become level ways, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God.' He said therefore to the crowds that came out to be baptized by him, 'You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruits in keeping with repentance, and do not begin to say to yourselves, "We have Abraham as our father." For I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children of Abraham. Even now the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. And the crowds asked him, "What then shall we do?" And he answered them, "Whoever has two tunics is to share with him who has none, and whoever has food is to do likewise." Tax collectors also came to be baptized and said to him, "Teacher, what shall we do?" And he said to them, "Collect no more than you are authorized to do." Soldiers also asked him, "And we, what shall we do?" And he said to them, "Do not extort money from anyone by threats or by false accusations, and be content with your wages." As the people were in expectation, and all were questioning in their hearts concerning John, whether he might be the Christ, John answered them all, saying, "I baptize you with water, but he who is mightier than I is coming, the strap of whose sandal I am not worthy to untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his barn, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." So with many other exhortations, he preached good news to the people. Did you hear all that right there? That's talking about John the Baptist. He had been prophesied about in the book of Isaiah to come and prepare people for the coming of the Christ. What an amazing thing it was for John to have to come and say that Jesus was coming. But you may kind of wonder yourself, well, I don't really understand, what was the point of preparing people? Jesus was coming anyway. It's inevitable. But that's missing the point of preparation. Because what happened is preparation was needed because of what was coming and the message that was to follow, and preparing your hearts to receive that message. And that's what it is for us. It's preparing our hearts to receive the message that came when Jesus came. And I found it interesting, and God works this way at times, as you're preparing a message, you'll come up with some stuff, and you say, wow. I had 3 points that I was going to hit on today, and these 3 stories I shared of heroism fit perfectly the points that I'd come up with. Because the 3 things that we need to do in order to prepare ourselves fit the first one. The hurricane group prepared themselves. The second thing we need to do, as Rick did in the Twin Towers, he prepared others at all costs. And lastly then, like the little girl on the beach did, she knew it was inevitable. God has given us his word. We know what is to come. And that's why we share this. And so I want to share with you then today the first point on how we become prepared as we are called to do. And this can be a tall order, getting prepared, because that means that we got to change certain things about ourselves, and none of us like to do that. It can be a tall order, actually. But the first thing that John talked about as he called for preparation was the call for repentance. If you read in verse 8, John made it very clear, bear fruits in keeping with repentance. He called that a fruit. That's what we have to do. It's our actions. It reflects who we are. And by repenting, we are letting go of the sin that's in our life, because that sin that's in our life that we openly give into, we are making that our God. But if we're to understand who Christ was, we have to make him our God. And so as we repent of our sin, we let go of those vices that we recognize are destroying us, because oftentimes these vices end up trapping us and luring us, and we almost end up placing our hope in them, and they let us down. But when we place our hope in Christ, suddenly there's that fulfillment and that hope that all of our vices cannot promise to us. And we recognize that only Christ can free us from those, because he is our true hope. But it's not just the big ones, it's even those little vices in our life. The ones that are a reflection of the condition of our heart. What is the condition of your heart? What is your heart filled with? It's filled with goodness and joy, hopefulness. That's conditions of one that's being prepared for what is to come. Or is our heart filled with anger and unforgiveness and bitterness, the kind of traits that don't show a heart that's prepared and understanding of what Christ came, what he brought when he came to this earth? So we have to understand repentance is very important to us as we prepare ourselves, and also then we prepare ourselves to receive the gospel message. And what does this mean? How do we receive the gospel message? Well, aside from repentance, the gospel message should change us. Change us for how we show ourselves in the world and how we love the world as God does himself. Because it's more than just simply obeying the laws. You had that happen. John called out to all the Pharisees. You say, Abraham is your father, and that saves you. No, it doesn't. And so it's more than just obeying the laws, because what they missed out on was it's supposed to change your character as well. The crowds asked John, what shall we do? And what does he respond? Give willingly of our possessions. Our generosity shows our care for others. Our generosity shows our love for others, the same love that God has for them, for the less fortunate, for those in need. Because our generosity shows that our possessions here on this earth don't control us, but instead it's something that we feel blessed to have and feel honored to give to others as God has so freely given his grace to us. He calls us to be fair in how we treat one another with dignity and respect and honesty. I would think we'd all conduct ourselves in that way, but those are characteristics how we should be reflecting ourselves. Because those are the characteristics of God himself. We should never mistreat anyone. Don't lie about somebody. Don't cheat them. Don't harm them. Love one another. Christ came and he loved us all. And so the world sees the gospel message through us. See, you're a reflection of that. You're a reflection of God's character. Because this is what Jesus brought when he came to this earth, this new message. The new message, the new covenant that we are all now children of God who place our faith in him. And so if we are created in his image and we are called his children, shouldn't we reflect that he is our father? And so that's what John was calling us to prepare ourselves for. It was the message that Jesus was coming to teach. Saying in this case, your history won't save you. All that you have going for you won't save you. And he was saying that to the Israelites and the Jews. Your works won't save you no matter what you've done. You can't do it yourself. I always like kind of this term, your ethnics, if anything, won't save you. Your ethics will. Kind of a made-up term right there. No, your ethnics isn't really a word, but it works together. It's basically to sit there and say in modern-day terms, well, I'm a Christian, doesn't save you. To say I'm a Christian and then I let it change you. For it changes our heart, and we truly live a heart for God. That's what shows our true giving of ourselves to Jesus Christ. Anybody can save it, but it's more than just saying it. Because that's what the Israelites clung to. Well, I'm a Jew, thus I'm saved. And this message of preparation is calling for more. This is why Christ came to earth. Yes, he came to die for our sins, but he also came to teach us. To teach us that it's how we live God's laws. It's the ethics of them all, how we love and serve one another. And if that seems too difficult, to give up everything that we have to do, then I think sometimes we're forgetting the fact. I mean, whatever vices control us, even those little characteristics of ourselves that we know are wrong, and we say, well, that's just how God gave me. Remember what we're celebrating this time of year, okay? If you struggle giving up those character traits and those parts about you that you can't give up, remember that Christ, the creator of the universe, worshipped and praised eternally in his heavenly home, and what does he do? He puts on deteriorating human flesh and is born in a stinky stable, a place not fit for a human being to be born. And that's where he was. So if you've got traits about yourself that, oh God, but that's how you made me, I don't want to give this up, Jesus gave up a lot more than we ever could for us. The second point of preparation is preparing others as well. So as we ourselves prepare ourselves, as we ourselves experience that process of sanctification where we are putting aside the old, that shedding off of our old self, that self that's more interested in its own gratification, we put that part of ourselves aside. We start transforming ourselves with the fruit of the Spirit, becoming who God wants us to be, modeling ourselves like Christ. Well, then guess what? Suddenly we want to help others prepare themselves as well. And we do so because we know the joy that is in our hearts. Think about Rick in the Twin Towers. He was preparing people as if that second tower was going to be struck. We need to prepare others as well. And we should do this at all costs, no matter what. That cost that Christ said to follow me, we have to be willing to lay it all down. All down for him. If that means a loss of friends, a loss of job, a loss of family, none of it matters ultimately. You have to be willing to lose it all for Christ. That's how we can prepare others. When we show them the cost of what it means, but and the cost of what they will receive in the end. Because the third point of preparation is preparing others because we know it's inevitable. We know it could happen at any point in time. That's what I found interesting about that story with the little girl on the beach. How did she know that a tsunami was coming and nobody else did? Because she had just studied about it. The waters were acting strange, and she said, my textbook said this. She didn't sit there, and I think she could have made the mistake that we often do. The signs can be in front of us, but we think, yeah, but this doesn't happen to me. I mean, really, if you're walking on the beach of a vacation, are you really going to think, huh, I bet a tsunami's coming? No, we put that stuff aside. But all the signs are there. If you read the scriptures, see that all the signs are there, and they're coming. And it may not happen in our lifetime, but then again, it could happen in the next few seconds. We don't know. We do know that it is coming. That's what we know. Scripture is telling us to be prepared for that time when it comes. You heard in our scripture reading what Paul said in the church of Thessalonica. He warned them to be prepared. But listen to what Jesus says in Luke 12, 35 through 40. And this part was actually even mentioned in the back of your bulletin. There's a little section on week 2 of the Advents. And this verse was chosen. Jesus said this in Luke 12, 35 to 40. Stay dressed for action and keep your lamps burning. And be like men who are waiting for their master to come home from the wedding feast so that they may open the door to him at once when he comes and knocks. Blessed are those servants whom the master finds awake when he comes. Truly I say to you, he will dress himself for service and have them recline at table, and he will come and serve them. If he comes in the second watch or in the third and finds them awake, blessed are those servants. But know this, that if the master of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have left his house to be broken into. You also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. But we don't know when Jesus is returning that second time. But we're to be prepared. Think about that time on earth. Nobody knew when Jesus was coming. They had read that he was going to. And so we ourselves can't think I am a Christian is enough, because it's not. Are we living it like we believe it? We need to prepare ourselves through that transformed life for Christ. We should feel that urgent need to help others to see it as well. And honestly, it should be a joy for us. We should have so much joy in knowing this, that God has blessed us with the gift of faith in his Holy Spirit to understand his word, to understand that he's coming again. We should want others to know it as well. Because think about this, and I know people that are this way. Yeah, I don't want to believe in the whole God concept, so I'm just going to deny that any of this is real. But it doesn't change the fact that, you know what, we know that you will stand before God someday. Whether you want to or not, whether you're alive or dead, all of us that ever walk this earth will stand before God someday to give an account. We who are believers know that our sins have been washed clean from us. And I'm going to ask a question right now, and don't be shy. There's no right or wrong answers here, and hold on a second before you answer this. But I'm going to want you, ponder for a second, to raise your hands if you believe that Christ will come during your lifetime. And I ask this because I'm not saying maybe you think you've discovered, you know, the secrets of the Bible. You know, you hear some of these people, they've cracked the mystery code about what day it's going to happen and come. I'm not going to stand up here and preach anything like that, okay? But instead, I'm asking this because I'd never thought about this, but I had a conversation with a couple friends of mine one time, very close friends, and they literally believe that Christ will come during their lifetime. And the amazing thing is they live that way. They live such transformed lives, and lives that are so open to sharing with others, because they believe that Christ will come during their lifetime. And it amazed me, because I just always kind of assumed, like everybody else, those things don't happen in my lifetime. And so I want to ask again, if you're willing to, raise your hand if you actually think Christ will come during your lifetime. All right, one couple brave souls. Thank you. And I know it might make me uncomfortable, but the reason I got thinking on that is I think that does change your outlook on how you approach it. If you believe Christ is coming in your lifetime, don't you think that your sense of urgency might be a bit more? Because I don't think so. So it's like, yeah, at some point in time, I probably got to get my act together. But all you walk around think he's coming, you're like, okay, I do it now. And you're going to think about what you're doing. But a transformer prepared life is prepared for that, because we don't know. We don't know when Christ will come again. So we should live like it could be any second, because it can be. And think about it. There are prophecies that go back, all the way back to the beginning of time when Adam and Eve first sinned in the garden. God promised Jesus. Throughout that time then, up until Christ came, prophecies pointed to his coming. And yet what happened? He was born and still nobody really believed it. Nobody was sure that that was the time, because these things don't seem to happen to us. But yet it did happen, because there was that day that Mary received a message from the angels. And the next thing you know, there was the promised Messiah born in human flesh, walking among us, living among us. John came then and led the way to prepare for the people for the coming of this new message that Christ was coming to proclaim. And it was important that they understood what he was preparing them for. He wanted them to understand that God indeed fulfilled his promise of the prophesied Messiah. God had promised that he would send the Messiah for us, and here it was. This Messiah who came now to deliver an entirely new message for all of us. This new covenant that included every single one of us here today. Believe in Christ, you are a child of God. It's no longer just a set group of people, it's all of us. So that's what I'm calling on us today, is to live lives prepared for that. To make sure our hearts are being transformed by the gospel message of Jesus Christ, that is not just something we hear or say and it doesn't happen in my lifetime. It will happen, because we live for God. We should tell others about God, and we should live ready for his return, because just like 2,000 years ago, God did come down to this earth as promised. Promised he's coming again. Ready for that. Please join me in a word of prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are a God that has always been true to his word, Lord, that we can place our hope and trust in all that you have said to us, that is always true. We know, Lord God, as you promised Christ would come to us, that you did send him to walk in this earth among us. As we celebrate this time of year, that birth that came of Jesus putting on human flesh to die for our sins, Father, we thank you for that. We pray that your Spirit would fill our hearts, though, to help us to understand and see and prepare ourselves that he also said he will come back again. That is our hope and our assurance. Christ does return, Lord, that we can be with you, praising you eternally. Thank and praise you in Jesus' name.